This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Celeste Headlee, sitting in for Michelle Martin, who's under the weather. The Grammy-winning band Ozomatli is known for its brilliant amalgams of musical styles and taking on issues of the day like immigration and gang violence. Originally from Los Angeles, the band has toured around the world, including a stint as U.S. cultural ambassadors. But now the band is heading into new territory. They're writing and singing about things like birthdays, germs, and photosynthesis.
I wonder how a tree can grow. Na 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 na. There's many things that make it possible. First things first, start with the seed, the very beginning of every tree. They come in many shapes, hot, square, and round. Some fall from the tree, some we plant in the ground. Next on the list.
That's right. Your favorite L.A. Funkmasters are making music for the elementary school set. What you just heard is their song, Trees, from the new album titled Ozomatli Presents Ozo Kids. Band member Juo Yamaguchi recently spoke with Michelle Martin.
Welcome back. Thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks, Michelle. Thanks for having me.
Now, you remember we talked to you a couple of years ago about your group being U.S. cultural ambassadors. So which is scarier, wading into some of these, you know, places where Western musicians haven't performed before or performing for kids?
Maybe the kids. actually, Ozomatli, we've always had a saying that since pretty early on that Ozomatli is for the kids. We've actually always played for kids. You know, doing after-school programs or going to, you know, doing the different outreach work that we do, as well as during our live show, when it's an all-ages show, we will bring kids up on stage on the last song to play with us. And so this seems like a very natural progression for us.
But you have to admit, though, you're known for being cool. You know, I mean,
really?
Come on. And you know you're cool. And I have to ask if any of the guys were afraid that they were losing their cool points by putting out an album.
You know, that's an interesting question. Yes, there is a kind of, when we were first venturing into this, you know, family, quote unquote, family music or making music for kids, there was discussion about that. Like, how do you balance that? And we've kind of come to a place where we want to keep them separate. So we created an entity called Ozo Kids. But at the same time, there's still crossover, and our music for quote, adults still has appeal with the younger set. You know, when we first started doing this, we didn't have any children's music, and so we were actually playing live shows for kids, and we would adapt Ozomatli songs for kids. I think there's a natural crossover already.
How did, like, the idea that you're going to do an album for kids start? Do I have it right that you were actually approached? I mean, for example, that PBS approached you to do some music for kids' shows or maybe to do some music for video games, for kids' video game. Is that right?
Yes. There were a couple things going on. We were commissioned by PBS to write some 30-minute bumper music for in between their programming. You know, they gave us topics such as opposable thumbs and practice and measurement. And so we took these subject matters and we wrote 30-second songs about them. And then they put collages of Curious George and whatever the programming is to it. We also did a video game for Happy Feet 2. And we did all the music. They gave us a list of, you know, 50 songs. And they were like, can you do songs like this? And it was a very eclectic and diverse listing, everything from Funky Town to Harry Belafonte to, you know, all kinds of music. And it came out really well. And I think that helped, all these projects helped our kid chops, I guess you could call it. You know, we're starting to get our, you know, our frame set for making our own kids album.
Now, you guys have been together for what, like 17 years now?
17 years, yes.
Yeah. Well, when you first got together, did any of you have kids?
Not when we first got together. Raul, the guitarist, and Azdrew, the lead vocalist and trumpet player, they had kids pretty early on. Their kids are ranged now from like 9 to 14.
But most of their kids are post-Ozomatli kids, right?
I mean, yes, they everybody is post, time. Yes, exactly, yes.
So that becomes, sometimes it becomes like a thing, you know, when some people are having kids and other people aren't having kids, they're not ready for it, right? And so
right.
I wonder if there's ever, your life changes. The things that you're interested in and things you're exposed to sort of changes. And I wonder if there's ever any, you know, tension in the group between the people who are like, listen, man, we got to get this rehearsal going because I got to go pick up my kid.
Right,
for people
right.
who are just rolling in from the club, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Who haven't been home yet, you know?
What's great about us is at this point, I actually don't know, you know, back in the day, I think it was a struggle for the ones who had kids. At this point, there's a little bit more understanding. We've also grown up as men. And, you know, we're in a different place than we were back then, you know, going to clubs and partying and living life, the road life. You know, now we are raising children. And I mean, I don't want to make us sound like we're not cool. But that goes back to your other question of like balancing that, you know. But I think it, you know, responsibility is the new cool.
All right. Well, go. All right. I'm
going to go with that.
Right there. Let's go with that. That's right. Yeah. What a relief. Well, let's play another song from the album. This one's right. Moose on the Loose.
Boy, boy, that moose was fast, but we were faster. We'll be safe behind these trees. That could have been a great big disaster. Then all of a sudden, barrel into the trees, a big old something. Oh, boy, is that a caboose? Oh, my gosh, there's a moose on the loose. There's a moose on the loose.
I like this because most of the songs are about like giving specific information, like teaching
sure.
things.
Yes.
And this
yes.
one's just fun because it's not like all your adult albums are about like vote, stop
right.
shooting each other. I mean, they're not all about like heavy issues. And I kind of like that you mixed it up. I was just wondering, what did you come up with this idea?
This is one of my favorite songs too, because it is kind of a story and it's a narrative and it's fun. Justin, who's singing on this and rapping, he came up with the idea. And he actually just came in with it one day. He was like, check out this song. And we were all like, oh, my God. That's a really great song. So we worked on it. We all, you know, played the music for it. And it also, I believe, is a fan favorite now.
Everybody be very quiet. There's a moose on the loose. Close. Oh, yeah. Two more seconds and we'd be toast.
Oh, no.
That moose was 10 feet high with antlers the size of the River Nile. But something's wrong. I thought that moose was long gone. But I hear 8 hoofs coming like a caboose. Oh my gosh, there's two moose on the loose. There's a moose on the loose. There's a moose on the loose.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jiro Yamaguchi. He's a member of the band Ozo Motley. We're talking about the band's new album. It's titled Ozo Motley Presents Ozo Kids. It's their first studio album entirely meant for kids or with so-called kids music. Well, how do you feel about that term, kids music, anyway? How do you feel about that?
You know, I don't mind. It's fine. Kids music, family music. I think when we write this music, we do keep in mind also the adults who have to listen to it as well with their children. So
have to is right. Because kids
yes.
can be very demanding about what's on the, you know, playing in the car, can't they? I mean, they have like opinions.
Oh, absolutely. And my experience with my 4-year-old daughter is that she'll want to repeat things over and over and over again. And so being aware of that, we were making music. We were like, yes, if you're driving in your car, your child is demanding certain music, you know, you want the adult or the parent, whoever is in the car with them, to like it too, or else they're going to take it out eventually.
Or at least not want to run screaming from the car.
Right? Yes.
Like run screaming from the car with the doors flying up. Well,
right,
what's
exactly.
it like performing for kids? I know you were just talking about writing for kids and keeping that in mind. What about performing for kids? Have you noticed a difference?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the best. I mean, it lends itself to us perfectly because when we get on stage, we're kind of kids ourselves and we just have fun. And it's a pretty energetic, high energetic, very danceable show. What we do with the kids is we just kind of make it more concise and focused and very interactive. And so we are telling them, raise your hands, you know, scuffle to the side, move to the left. And we'll cordon off a little section. We call it the VIP section right in the front of the stage where we only allow kids. And it's great. It's a lot of fun. The kids get into it. We play for about 30 minutes because beyond that, the attention start to wander. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, here's an example of that. Let's play Exercise.
Exercise!
You know what? This might need to come with an advisory for the parents. If you're trying that, you might need to get yourself checked out before you start.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, that's for sure high energy.
And the birthday song, too, where you talk about raise them up. That's a lot of fun, too.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we chose, we felt like, what do we write about? And what kid doesn't like birthdays? And, you know, what kid doesn't like to jump around and do jumping jacks? And so that's kind of how we chose the subjects to write about.
Well, you also have the mix of musical styles, of genres that I think people will associate with your music. And, like, well, here's one, like Balloon Fest.
It's a sunny day. Why are you bored? Follow me for a quick trip to the store. Get some change from Dad. $2 at most. Buy some balloons. Add some friends. Now you're the host. Blow them up and toss them around. Get some colored markers. Draw a face or a clown. Blow them up. Watch them fly into the air. Where do they land? Who cares?
That's a favorite of yours.
Oh, yes. Right. So, yeah, I like Balloon Fest. And there's a funny story of how we came about with that. We were at the Bowery Ballroom in New York City getting ready to play an Ozo Motley show. And our publicist, Rob Moore, was backstage with us with his daughter, who at the time I believe was about 4 years old. And for some reason, there were all these balloons back there. And, you know, spontaneously, and I don't know how it started, but just spontaneously, we started playing with these balloons with her. She was so excited, just throwing it everywhere. And every time the balloons would get thrown up, somebody would yell out, "Balloon Fest!" And then it would land down and "Balloon Fest!" And she was really hyped. and so years later, we were like, what are we going to write about? And it was like, oh, Balloon Fest.
That's a party right there.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, before I let you go, thank you for stopping by again. You know, hardly anybody ever asks men how they handle work and family, right? So
yes.
So I'm going to ask you, since most of you are dads now, right?
Yes.
And you've been doing this a long time, and you're still doing what you started out doing, but now you've added this. How are you managing all that?
You know, I think we've been doing less touring. We've been writing more and doing composition for doing things like the video games and the PBS things. And we've had the ability to stay home more, which is a lot more sane and healthy, especially in the context of having family. I have a very supportive wife who, you know, helps raise our daughter. And when I'm home, I do a lot of that as well. And so it's really a balance and a lot of communication.
Are any of your other rocker friends dogging you out about, like, trading in your cool car for the minivan or any of that? Do you have to put anybody
no minivan
check on
yet,
that?
And, you know, I don't know if I would get a minivan, but...
you can tell
no,
me. It's okay.
Really.
If I run into you in L.A., I'm going to see you with the minivan. You could be ducking down behind the wheel.
Yeah,
no, it's
funny.
Not me.
I was in a minivan the other day, and I was like, wow, this is kind of cool. And then I was like, wait, what am I saying? But, you know, thankfully I have really supportive friends and family who are like, yes, that's you know, we have a blessed life, and we, you know, I'm playing music for a living, and have a beautiful family at the same time. And so that's, you know, I'm thankful for that.
Jiro Yamaguchi is part of the band Ozo Motley. Their new album is called Ozo Motley Presents Ozo Kids. It's their first studio album intended directly for kids, family music, if you want to call it that. And he was kind enough to join us from our studios in Culver City, and he swears he did not drive a minivan there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michelle.
Been listening to the song Like It's Your Birthday by Ozo Motley. The band's latest album is Ozo Motley Presents Ozo Kids. To see one of their latest music videos and to learn more about their work, just go to npr.org, click on the Programs tab, and then on Tell Me More. And that's our program for today. Tell Me More is produced by Bridget Armstrong, Freddie Boswell, Bridget DeShagas, Andrew Limbong, Sanaz Meshkinpour, Emily Oxenschlager, Amitha Parasher, and Amy Ta. Our editor is Ahmad Omar. Special thanks to NPR's librarians. Our director is Arjun Hutchins. Our senior producer is Devar Ardalan. The technical director is Neil Tivolt with audio engineer Kurt Stoniker. Our theme music was composed by Underdog Entertainment with additional arrangements by Ian Honeyman. Our senior editors are Ann Hawk and Alicia Montgomery. Our acting executive producer is Carlene Watson. Remember, to tell us more, please go to npr.org and find us under the Programs tab. You can find our podcast there as well. You can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. The handle is at TellMeMoreNPR. I'm Celeste Headlee. You've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. We'll talk more tomorrow. Come on and jump around. It's your